and say hallelujah. We're reading from Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. As he, Peter, was talking with Cornelius, Peter went inside. There he found a large group of people. He said to them, "You know that it is against our law for a Jew, which I am, to enter a Gentile home, which this is. A Jew shouldn't have any close contact with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not say anyone is not pure and clean. So when you sent for me, I came without asking any questions. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, at this very hour, I was in my house praying. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood in front of me. He said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. He has remembered your gifts to poor people. Send someone to Joppa to get Simon Peter. He is a guest in the home of another Simon who works with leather. He lives by the sea.' So I sent for you right away, Simon Peter. It was good of you to come. Now we are all here, and God is here with us. We are ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God treats everyone the same," he said. Here ends our lesson for today.
Thanks, Marie. You guys can have a seat. Just the context of that passage is obviously the beginning of the church, and all of the apostles had been sent out with great news for the Jewish people. Right? It was incredibly good news for the Jews. That was their entire focus. Like, here was this culmination. The Messiah has come. He's brought great news for us. And now we have this amazing, wonderful celebration for all the Jews around. They had all heard Jesus, right? They even were writing down the messages and stories of what Jesus had said. They had heard what Tim had quoted out of Matthew 24, where Jesus said, "Before the end of the world, I will have my message or my gospel preached in every nation on earth." They'd heard the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go and make a disciple of every nation, of every people group on the face of the planet." They'd heard it in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria." And what does it go after that? "And to the ends of the earth." They had heard every bit of that. They knew it well enough to be able to record it for us later on. So it was obviously stuck inside their heads. And yet, they did nothing. They had no plan. There was no central committee that was like, "Hey, we know we're doing the short stuff here, but we've got to think broadly. We don't even know where the ends of the earth are, so we've got to figure that out. We've got to get teams together." They didn't have a heart. There's no biblical record of a group of Christians that were praying at 10:02 every day and saying, "God, the harvest is rich. We don't even know how far it goes, but we know we need more workers. It's too big for us." There's no record of that. There's no action whatsoever. Even Peter, James, John, like all these guys that walked with Jesus 3 years, as tight as anything, didn't get it. They didn't go anywhere. They weren't planning anything. They weren't even praying, as far as Scripture reveals for us. Right? This is the setting that we had. And so God comes and reveals to them a really startling truth about their hearts. He says, "You have favorites. You have the people that you like. You have the people that are like you. You have the people that are easy to connect to. And you have the ones that are your favorites." And we all live our life that way. You go to school, you go to work, you go whatever, and you have favorites, right? That's how you pick and choose. Your Facebook account is filled with your favorites, and maybe some less than favorites because they asked and you weren't bold enough to say no, but they made it in there anyway. But we all have a list of those that are my absolute favorites and those that make their way down and they are not as favorite along the way. But God comes with this conviction and says, you have favorites. I do not. And with all of the teaching that God offered, I mean, you can't knock the teaching of Jesus, right? If he taught for 3 years and they didn't get there, then it wasn't because the teaching was deficient. Jesus taught clearly, he taught effectively, he taught powerfully. He said, this is the heart of God. And yet their hearts were still not moved until God forced Peter. He gave him the dreams. He forced him to go there. And he showed in bold and powerful ways that Peter could never forget and never let go of, that I do not have favorites. Do you believe that as the pastor of this congregation, when I spread M&Ms among the children, that I had favorites up here? Do you think there were some kids I really wanted to get more M&Ms or some I didn't want to have any at all? No. And I'm a man with a selfish and evil heart. I'm not the pure Almighty God. And if you can believe that about me, then how do you look at God any differently? When there are children all over the world without access to something far greater than that. So we have good news for America, right? We are blessed in tremendous ways. We won't cover them all today, but we'll at least look spiritually. We have insane amounts of freedom to pursue our faith. We have opportunities not only to show up at churches spread all around. You don't even have to go as far as you went today to get to a church. Most of you passed multiple churches before you got here. And you'll pass multiple more on your way home. You'll pass them on your way to work. You'll pass them all around, right? It just drips from the trees around you. You turn on the radio, you just find enough stations. You'll find someone talking about Jesus somewhere. AM, FM, doesn't matter, right? You pick up books. You can find it online. You can find it everywhere around you. You don't even have to move off your couch. If you have strength enough to flick on your remote, you can find the gospel presented to you in a language, in a way that you can understand. It's absolutely good news for America. And we have all heard those same teachings of Jesus. We've heard the same command to go, the same truth that you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So my question is, do we have favorites? Yeah, we do. And it's a sin. A sin that gets dealt with on a cross, but I don't want to move past that so fast you miss the impact of that. Right? It's a Jesus who comes today that says, I will forgive where you've been, but I want you awakened. And I want you to realize that twofold, part of that is that God is more gracious to us than maybe Peter, because he says, I'm not even forcing all of you to go. I have forced these Saudi Arabian students to come to America. I have forced all of these Syrian refugees out of their land where there was barely any presence of the gospel whatsoever. And I am sending them to places where they can hear. Will you take some M&Ms from your bag? And will you share them? Will you take just a couple hours? Will you take one night out of a month and invite someone over to your house? Will you go and just work on English with one of those students and build a relationship? Can your small group say, hey, there's a refugee family coming in here? We could adopt them. Right? We don't have to cross a cultural boundary. We don't have to cross a language boundary. They are doing all the hard work. And they're settling down in a place that they're filled with people that are, they think are demons or hate them. And all you have to do is say, hey, this is how a grocery store works in America. And this is how you get a bank account. And I'll help you figure out the DMV because that doesn't freak me out. And I understand those kinds of things. And this is what our language means. And here's some of our cultures. And here's how we watch the Super Bowl together. And this is football. And I know it's weird, but this is what it means. And whatever it is, right? You have all of that, and you have Jesus, and it's right there. And we also have this congregation that is strong, that has a history of reaching all of those nations there. and has the capability, filled with the power of the Spirit of God, to reach one of those 3,700 groups that has yet to have any Christian knock on their door. As we come into this time of communion and kind of orient ourselves to kind of connecting and marching with Jesus, right? Then here is this opportunity for you to pray over these things. They're listed in that communication card. You can draw your attention to that right now. I want to ask you, just in light of what God has shared today, to say, do I have a role in one of these things? Maybe first one is, I know my language well, and I can speak it with someone who's trying to learn it. Not hard for me at all. Is that an hour a week in a partnership or whatever? It doesn't even have to be hugely inconvenient, right? I'm walking a couple steps and giving some M&Ms. I can do that. Maybe it says, I'm really curious about that refugee family thing. They're kind of vulnerable in a unique way. I couldn't do it all on my own, but I'd be interested to be a part of a team doing that. Maybe one of those down there is, I want to talk with my small group about doing that together. Because I think with all 10 of us or 12 of us or whatever, that we could balance that weight pretty evenly and we could make a profound impact on one family that might need that opportunity here. And finally, maybe at the bottom, those numbers are striking you in a really deep way, and you're hearing this call of Jesus that says, I don't want to end my life never having reached one of those 3,700. And maybe you've got a heart right now that just burns, that says, we need to commit as a congregation to one. We can't do them all, but is there one that we could choose and say, let's pray, let's give, let's serve, let's do whatever we can in the power of God to let one community of however many people come and receive that gift that we have. So I invite you to pray over those opportunities. We have this gift of communion where Jesus comes to us. Do you realize that you have no right to this gift if Jesus has favorites? Right? You're an outsider. If it weren't for Peter going to Cornelius, none of you shows up here. Right? Don't forget your roots. Don't forget where you came from. And let a couple generations or, a couple hundred years of things miss the fact that if Jesus hadn't said, I want you to go, we wouldn't have this gift. You wouldn't have a God who says, I forgive everything. I love you profoundly. I will lead you and guide you. I'll answer your prayers. I will meet your needs. I will bring you to everlasting life. You'd have none of that if there was a God of favorites. But instead, you have a God of incredible grace and mercy for every person on the face of this earth equally. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, but he thought of every last one of you. And he said, take and eat. It's my body. I've given it for you. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples. He said, drink from this, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. I invite you to come and be one with Jesus Christ.